This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year!
Woohoo! We are halfway through the decade and we are talking about the best films of 2024.
We have some terrible films that came out this year, but this is going to be dedicated to the ones that we absolutely enjoyed. I have prepared my top five. It was very hard. It was very difficult to do. What about you, Tom? Are you excited to talk about your top five?
I really am, but I'm going to throw in the curveball here. Now, I haven't told John this, but I'm starting with a couple of things. So normally we just do our top fives, maybe some honorable mentions and leave it at that. But not this time. We're doing things differently. We are throwing out the rules, John. So I looked at my top five and I saw June Part 2, Poor Things, Quiet Place Day 1, The Wild Robot, all amazing films. But we did videos on them. You can watch the videos. I will link below to the videos that we did. That, to me, was the problem. We've done videos on them. We've explained why they're fantastic. And so I thought, instead of just retreading the films that we've already covered, why not choose other films that rank highly, that are among our best of the year, and talk about why they're amazing. And every single one of the top 10 highest grossing films this year, sequels, prequels, franchise films, every single one of them. This is the same story for quite a few years, and you get so many people who say, oh, there aren't any good original films anymore. Back when I was a child, you would have all these, and I take massive issue with that, because the people who say these things, they don't look beyond their doors. They don't seek out anything original. You know, they only see the slop that studios pump out for them. And if you want good, great original films, that is not the way. And there are so many amazing stories that people, I think, really should know about. So here in this video, I really hope that we can shed some light on those brilliant pieces of art. So, John, give me a movie that you loved this year, dude.
Challenges. Oh, dude. Absolutely brilliant. What do you think? Do you think Challenges is one of your favorites this year?
Challenges had to be up there. It may have been the best cinema experience that I had all year. This film is just electrifying. It's magnetic. The entire final 20 minutes, maybe, that final tennis match, is some of the best directed stuff I've ever seen. And I've heard people say, oh, it's over-directed, it's a bit too much, it's style over substance. Cowards. You're all cowards, because I tell you what is some of the most visceral and alive filmmaking that I have seen in recent years, and it just made me feel something so incredibly intense in all the best ways. And I think it feeds into some incredible themes about love and sport and expressing everything. Challenges is the story of three people who have all been tennis prodigies throughout their lives. We got Mike Faced and Josh O'Connor pulling in incredible performances as these two ex-best friends who are now kind of enemies in this tennis tournament, but are both in love with Zendaya, who provides such a brilliant performance. If she isn't nominated for Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress for this film, then I don't know what the Academy are doing, because she is just fantastic, and she is pulling the strings, almost manipulating them both as they run up to this final climax. I loved it.
I was just mesmerized about how the structure of the film just kept on your feet, that you're just trying to work out what exactly is the conflict between these three people. And the whole ending was just electrifying. Some of the things that you rarely get to see in cinemas nowadays, of an ending that just leaves you energetic and it's just like, oh my god. The editing, the music, and the story itself, it definitely peaked at the ending. I was just laughing at the end because of like, oh my god, how on earth did you do that? Some of the stuff that is layered in the movie that you didn't really think of meets you at the end. It's like, oh my god, it hits you. It hits you so hard.
The direction from Luca Guadagnino, he is such a brilliant director. Every single thing that he brings to it is so good. And the score from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross is just so electrifying. When I would go on runs, I would listen to that score and it would just make me so pumped, like you're saying. And the editing by Marco Costa as well. It's just all of these elements coming together. And what a peak. Peak film.
So what has been one of your favorites this year, Tom?
Well, I want to talk about a film that hasn't released in the UK yet. I'm sorry. I have to be that guy.
Wait, is it Nosferatu?
It's not Nosferatu. I wish it was Nosferatu. I have not seen Nosferatu yet, but I'm anticipating that will show up on my list next year. It's We Live in Time, which I saw a preview screening. So this is the story about two people played by Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh who fall in love. And it's that simple. And it's not an easy thing. There are the questions of building a family and what each of them want out of it, but also the question of mortality and being faced with disease and treatment, and can you both go on when faced with something that difficult, both from the perspective of the person who is dying and the person who has to face that. Fantastic film. And I sat down, I knew this was going to be something special, but I was like, this is probably gonna be a difficult film to watch. But it wasn't. It was delightful and hilarious and beautiful. And I just cannot think of another film this year that has made me so reflective, but also made me feel so good. I mean, I can think of a couple others, which we'll get into, but it really soared because Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh, they just immediately have such chemistry with each other, and they really carry it. You believe in their love, you believe in the joy and in the sadness of their life, and you root for it and you root for everything. But also it poses these incredible questions about priorities in a relationship and life and parenthood and who you are and what is your legacy. As I say, it hasn't released in the UK yet. I think it is released in the US, but it's amazing. I really do think everyone should watch it. And it is directed by John Crowley. And I just think that the whole thing is utterly mesmerizing. I would not be surprised if some tears come out from the audience. Just brilliant. It's up there. One of the best of the year for sure.
Oh, wow. I need to watch that then.
Give it a watch and give me another film this year that you have loved.
So this one in particular was just shocking in a good way. You'll probably know what I'm talking about. It's a body horror film. And the whole premise of this movie is about a woman who's entering her 50s, is fired from a job teaching an aerobic class, and is told there is this serum that can give you a new life or a young life. And this serum gives her this new body, like a younger version of herself. This was The Substance. What an insane film. Well, what's it? Well, no, I'm bad with names again. The director, Colley Farjo. What a disgusting, insane film. I watched it with you, Tom. I wished we could have talked about this on the podcast, but yes. I'm glad this is up there on my favorites. The film was just so uncomfortable to watch, and we had no idea what the film was going to be all the way through. It was like, okay, what's going to throw at us? I just love how the promotion didn't give us information about what the film's going to be like. It just was so incredible to watch, but then you just felt so traumatized after. You wouldn't get that experience ever again. You have to see it for yourself and just be like, what on earth did I watch? Yeah,
you don't want to give anything away about this film. It is so gross. I gagged in the cinema, which is something that I've never done. I was just like, it was pure body horror in all the best ways. But also, it's about youth and age and the media and its
beauty, trying to find beauty again.
Yeah.
Does expectations as well for women.
Yeah.
Like, scary.
There is so much truth in this film, even though it's such an expressive way of doing it. And it's career best performances from Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley, who are just amazing. The great thing about all these films that we talk about is none of the actors or the directors or the editors or anyone involved in these films give anything less than their very, very best. As I said with Zendaya, but I think this applies to everyone. I think every single person in these films we're talking about today deserves to have their moment. And not all of them can win every award, but like, wow, we are talking about some incredible, incredible actors for sure.
Yeah, Demi Moore killed that role. Like, she did so much for the project. Aesthetic as well for that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Substance, that traumatizing, would do it again. Anyway, what about you, Tom? What has been one of your favorites this year?
Blitz.
I've seen it.
Okay. Well, Steve McQueen is a really interesting director because of what he chooses to tackle. Obviously, you've got your 12 Years a Slave, you've got your Shame, your Hunger, Small Axe, like six films that he released all at once.
Wow.
This guy, he's got so much to say, and he dips his toes into so many different things. And Blitz is the story of a mother and son in World War II London during the Blitz, as the title suggests.
Oh my God.
And at the head of the film, we are confronted with the fact that they have to separate. The boy has to go and be evacuated, and the mother is going to stay in London. And the kid's name's George, and George doesn't want this at all. So much so that he jumps off the train. And the whole story is the two of them coming back together. It is just heartbreaking. Saoirse Ronan, who we will see again in this video, I promise, plays the mother, and Elliot Heffernan plays the son. They are both just so incredibly heartbreaking and both have such spirit, but then such devastation within them. And this film is about so many things. George is a mixed race black boy and faces so many different kinds of prejudices throughout this film. I mean, this is a story about minorities in World War II. The role of women is something that history does cover a lot in World War II, especially in Britain, the role that they played. But for people of color, that's something that we really don't get to see about. And the entire thing is luck of the draw between those who live and die, or who George meets and who are good or bad. There's a lot of stranger danger, a lot of death around every corner, simply because people are cruel or selfish or scared. And all of that worked into the construction of the narrative. I mean, I started the film worrying about the bad things that could happen, and I ended it just thinking, can something good please just happen? And I think that's why it worked so well, because it really kept me on my toes, but it was also a brilliant look at the classic stranger danger story from a unique wartime perspective. It's not like people coming together through war. It is brutal and realistic to the fact of everyone is scared and everyone is trying to make them and their loved ones safe, but at the same time, some people take advantage of people during war. It's a horrible film to experience. I did not watch this film with a smile on my face. I watched it feeling terrible, but that is important, and the film is absolutely spellbinding in that sense. I think it's an important film from so many different perspectives, but is just brilliant. I cannot even get over how just amazing this film was. I shouldn't expect any less from Steve McQueen, but just phenomenal.
Wow. Is it at Cineworld still or at home?
No, it's out of the cinema. I think it's on Apple TV now. So, you know, everyone can watch it on streaming, which obviously it's not the way that you'd want it to be. I mean, the sound design, as you can imagine, the blitz bombs, the sound design is absolutely phenomenal. But settle what you can, watch it on streaming. It's really, really worth it.
Okay.
Give me another film, John.
Well, this one, I was just very surprised that it didn't get a lot of nominations in the Academy, The Iron Claw with Zac Efron. So,
yes.
This one, I totally forgot about and was just so devastating to watch. So the film centers around this family who are huge in the wrestling scene. It is based on a true story and it is a horrible tragedy. But one thing that surprised me was Zac Efron's performance. Oh my God, he was amazing. I was surprised that he didn't get nominated for that role alone. You see him in different roles. I mean, he was Ted Bundy. He was, what was the kid from High School Musical? He was Troy Bolton. Okay.
Get your head in the game.
All the High School Musical fans will be like, what are you doing? Okay, Troy. Seeing him as a performer in this movie was just incredible. He was so committed for that role, but I have to give props to the other actors. But this one just, I mean, it was just a very depressing movie, because wrestling, it is like a performance, really. But the reality, it's harsh, it's dark, and wrestling goes through a lot of tragedies. It is a harrowing film, but it's just the performance that just took me away.
I agree. It's a great film. I think it's funny that all these films that we're talking about, it's like, this film is very difficult to watch. and that's
it
kind of, a lot of the most important films are, you know, this film was directed by Sean Jerkin. It's not just Zac Efron, but I think Harris Dickinson, who is also in Blitz as well, and Jeremy Allen White, and all throughout, it's about legacy, it's about love, it's about family, and it is just amazing.
I recommend it to people as well. Don't forget about it, because it is amazing what this film showed you. So, yeah, what about you, Tom?
Well, I may have predicted this might have shown up in yours as well, because we saw this film together. The Outrun.
Yes!
That's right. Saoirse Ronan is back.
I love how you just described it like, she's back! She's back! And then we go into like another depressing film.
Genuinely, it's like, again, really difficult to watch for some more than others. But, you know, this film, which is directed by Nora Fingscheidt, really, really powerful film about alcoholism. Saoirse Ronan plays a recovering alcoholic, and the film constantly cuts between her life in recovery and her life as an alcoholic, and her trying to find peace and her trying to connect to something real, something natural, and also get over the difficulties that she's had. Now, it's almost a meme that Saoirse Ronan has never won an Oscar, but for God's sake, this is such a... I mean, she was great in Blitz, but this is a performance that I think is... Like, I have lost the words. I do not have a thesaurus near me that can even do justice to how brilliant and how heartbreaking and tragic. She plays addiction and she plays drunk in a way that I have never seen, and that really strikes a chord with me and experiences that I've had. And I think it's so true to life and so devastating. And there's that word again. The key word of the year is devastating, because these films really are about the human struggle. It's something that we all can relate to in some way. And I think it's just so beautiful the way that this film handles the effect that alcohol and any kind of substance can have on oneself and the people around them. It, you know, it's amazing. The secondary protagonist is Papa Isedu, and he as well is also so amazing at showing the struggle of alcoholism from the other perspective, you know, from secondhand view. Yeah. It's just great. This is a really small film, both in the fact that a lot of people don't know about it, but also it's set on Orkney. It's set in a really squirreled away part of the UK, but it's really important. I feel like everybody should endeavour to see this film.
Yes, I agree. It would spark a lot of discussions. I'm just so surprised that not many people have seen this movie, especially here in Britain. We do have a serious drinking problem with our drinking
culture. Oh boy,
culture.
Do we.
We need to go to Spoons, lads.
Well, hey, didn't we literally go to Spoons after we watched the movie?
We did.
We're part of the problem.
Get us a pint of Guinness, lads. Yeah.
Way.
And actually, it sparked a discussion between us how this film deeply resonated. It is such a powerful movie that just kept lingering at the back of my mind. It moved me, I have to say, with that. They didn't like a serious depiction of it. It wasn't like a caricature of like alcoholism you get to see in comedies, but it just felt so depressing. It reflects so much in our lives as well. Yeah. And the memoir as well. I heard the memoir is great.
Yeah. So weirdly enough, quite a few of these films as well, based on real stories. The Iron Claw is based off a real story. The Outrun, Blitz, you know, all these things are inspired by reality. And that, again, is something really powerful. Now, before we do our final pick, I know for me it's my favorite of the year, I want to say rapid fire. Three films that we recommend as well. Drive Away Dolls, incredibly fun, queer, camp, you know, road trip movie. It's directed by one of the Coen brothers, by a single Coen brother. It's Margaret Qualley again, and it's very fun. Not at all as dark as some of the other films. I very much recommend that. Another one is The Inventor. This is an animated film about Leonardo da Vinci, and it stars Stephen Fry and Daisy Ridley. It's a really interesting film about the cost of invention and seeing the beauty in the world. It's got such a spellbinding score. For nothing else, watch it for the score. But it's really fun. It's really cute. It's one to watch with your kids as well. And the final one, which is the opposite of something you want to watch with your kids, Kneecap. Out there, balls to the wall, Irish indie film about Gaelic rap. It's insane. It is fueled with drugs and sex and swearing, but also it has this message about language and culture and that being hidden. And for such a low budget film, just the way that it manages to be so expressive and vibrant, I was so, so impressed by. So there's three films that very quickly I wanted you to say are just amazing. Do you have three to recommend for us, John?
Yes. So one of them, Civil War.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? Okay, well,
no.
Civil War, written and directed by Alex Garland. Depressing road trip movie. It just goes into the philosophical side of photography, but also war as well. War is bad, everybody. It is most definitely bad.
Seriously? Mate.
Imagine like this one guy in the audience, like, we have this empty audience right here, and then there's just one guy just stands up and he's like, what?
Are you telling me that war is bad? Why are we always doing it then? Hold on.
Why are we still here? My other pick as well is Lee. That's another World War II story, focuses on a war photographer, Lee Miller, also a true story. Again, that is a very impactful film. It is devastating. I just love how we get to see more of the truthful side of cinema. This is the film that just expresses to us and how it makes us feel. So yeah, and then I can't go through the entire list of IMDb.
Well, okay, that's fine. Okay, what is, it might not be your favorite film of the year, but what is final film that you have for us tonight, sir?
The Holdovers.
Yes, it's mine too. Let's go. Film of the year. It released in 2024 in the UK, so I know it came out 2023 everywhere else, but it is so good. I rewatched this film just a couple of weeks ago.
Cinema. I have to start off with, like, this is the most Christmas film of all Christmas films. It sucks that it didn't come out Christmas time, because that would have been such a jolly vibe. Oh, so jolly. This entire film was such a treat. treat. I loved Paul Giamatti's performance in this film. He was just so charismatic. Whenever he's on screen, it just makes me laugh, especially with the eyeglass one as well. You try to figure out which side is the actual eye as well. I love that. The story focuses on one particular student in this all-boys boarding school in America, and he can't go home because his parents are away, and he is left behind with this really mean teacher. I love this movie. It had this wonderful connection to the audience. You know, it just made you feel so jolly, but also it just had so much emotional weight.
This film is so funny, but also so, I mean, it couldn't be the best of the year if it wasn't tragic. It really is. It's a film really about loneliness and loss and finding people who understand, which is almost the unexpected beauty of it. This film won the Oscars Best Supporting Actress, Davine Joy Randolph, who just basically swept the entire awards season. My God, was she incredible, potentially even the best part of the film. The story of this woman who has lost her son and is also stuck with these other two in the school, and the grief that she displays, but also she brings a wit to it and a charm. Mm. She is warm when Paul Giamatti's character is cold, and I just think it's a brilliant film in every aspect. Yeah. I mean, when I rewatched it, I thought to myself, okay, Tom, this is probably not going to be your favorite film of the year anymore. Let's be honest. It's probably going to go down a few spots, and that's okay. And then I watched it and was like, no, this is perfect. This will be a mainstay of my Christmases for years to come, for sure. Mm. If you take anything away from this video, watch at least one thing that we have spoken about. Whatever kind of tickles your fancy, they all have something to say and are all incredibly well made, incredibly well acted, and incredibly important in their own special way. But I guess that's 2024. That's it all wrapped up.
Yeah.
2024 is over. And now, John, it's the year of Superman, baby. Superman, we're 7 months away. I've never been more excited. I probably have, but I am buzzing.
Yes.
That does wrap it up for this year. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we are beginning our road to the latest Captain America, and we are doing Captain America, the First Avenger. I haven't seen this film in almost 6 years. Before Endgame came out. So I'm really excited to revisit it.
Me too. It's been such a long time.
And you can email us. Tell us your thoughts on Captain America, the First Avenger. Send us an email at rslanefilmpod@gmail.com and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asphalt, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, rare thoughts from me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to LJN's Method, excellent theme, and William Phillips Vogels as always. And I think that's everything for
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year! Yeah, the passage of time is getting scary at this point.
Not to freak you out or anything, but in August this year, the podcast will be 5 years old.
I realized that too at the beginning. I was like, oh God.
Ah!
Time. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.